President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up. Until now. Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, testing America. Welcome. Can you hear me, people? Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes radio show. By the way, it is Friday. Just wanted to give you a heads up. For some reason, Wednesday felt like Friday, so this is technically my Sunday. That's how this week has gone. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. Also, it is Open Line Friday. This is the one day out of the week that you get to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Just give us a holler, and you can do that. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And I truly believe that the most important issue facing the nation today, I believe, during the Trump presidency, ladies and gentlemen, is daylight saving time. I think that's it. I really do. And I don't know about you, but I had a bigger problem with this when I was living in New York City and working at Fox News Channel. And Ben Dieter, I would be at my desk and I'd walk outside. It would be 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought, you know, I'm going to go for a walk in the park. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun's already setting. And I think people are just genuinely depressed when the sun goes down so quickly. And so I'm a big fan of this is spring forward, right? No, fall back.
Literally,
spring,
I think,
forward.
This Sunday, you guys? It's very soon.
So we finally get longer sunlight hours in the afternoon. I hate it leaving this building. And I want to go out to, we have a huge park here, one of the largest urban parks in America called Shelby Farms. Mm-hmm. They have bison, by the way. Actually, a herd of bison over there. But you can't do it because the park shuts down at sundown, which is like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You're like, what is the point here? So anyway, President Trump was asked about this. You know, this came up a lot on the campaign trail, and the president, I don't think he's too keen on doing anything. He said back last year that he was opposed to daylight saving time, instead that the Republican Party would work to eliminate it. However, the president was just asked about this yesterday, and he said, well, it's a 50-50 issue. And so we're going to make somebody, you know, angry. We're going to make somebody upset. He says it's hard to get excited about a 50-50 issue. Is it really a 50-50 issue?
I think if you look at surveys, Todd, if you look at studies, Americans overwhelmingly support just one clock. A clock that remains the same, whether it is a spring morning or a fall afternoon. They want the same amount of day in the morning and night.
Are you? Would you rather have more sunshine in the afternoon hours or in the morning?
I would like more dark. Yeah.
What does that mean?
I like when we have to set it back and it's 4 p.m. and it's already dark outside.
See, I can't stand that.
Why?
Because that means it's bedtime.
That's a good thing.
No, that's a bad thing.
Because I'm
going
to go to bed at 4 p.m. So I just go to bed.
What do you have, dinner at Bob Evans with the senior citizens?
Exactly. So I am actually opposed to the president and this possible EO or his resolution, congressional legislation that would end daylight savings time. I like it. I just like the dark.
You see, this all goes back to like 1918 during World War One, and the Germans were all over this because the Germans came up with this idea. So therefore, it is Nazi. It's a Nazi-esque. So if you support daylight savings
time,
you're a Nazi. You see how I drew that parallel? It's very, very clear to me. But for those of us who actually are normal and we enjoy late afternoons in the summer where that we can watch the sunset at what time? What time does the sunset in the summertime? What, 9 o'clock? That's what I'm all
8
about.
8 p.m. It's insane.
I'm curious. So we are a show divided. I didn't realize this about you.
Yeah, no, I just
I'm
like
disappointed.
It. Really? No, I think like there are some pros to it. Like, literally, this has been studied by scientists that it improves moods. Clearly, Todd's in a better mood, so I'm praying to God we just get... No, he's in a great mood always. Doesn't matter whether we have to spring the clock forward or back. But they think scientifically, they say more sun means more vitamin D, so you're more healthy. More sunlight oftentimes means less depression. And you got a lot of parents out there that do they want to drop their kids off in the dark? Do they want to pick their kids up? And it's almost dark because you can't take them to the playground. So I understand the proponents of more sun. But for someone like me, who I tend to be an Eeyore, I like to just sleep.
What about, though, you brought up the kids and the parents don't like to drop their kids off, you know, when it's dark? Because what time does school start nowadays? What is it? Seven?
Six, seven o'clock in the morning. I don't know.
Oh, geez, hello. All right, can we, again, it's Open Line Friday, so the conversation will meander just a smidge today. But can we talk about that for just a moment? Why are you jerking the kids out of bed at 5:30, 6 in the morning? You're shipping it off to school. They're going to be sleeping for the first couple of hours, so they're not learning anything. Why not just start the school day a little bit? You can always shift the school day to when the kids are actually awake.
That would be like 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
And you have to have your kid in school for 6 hours. So that means they're getting home at like 5 p.m.
I think school way too long. Way too long. You know, just get the kids in there, teach them. And again, the good news here, Linda McMahon, and we've got some great audio. She's making the rounds on all the shows today. She was doing interviews with all the blonde people. Mm-hmm. I think News Nation, Newsmax, Fox News, and I can't tell you which blonde.
Can you put on a wig so I can book her?
No, I shave my legs. Hey, Linda, we've got a blonde show host. Mm-hmm. I'm there. Oh, I love your outfit. But it's true.
Yeah.
One time I was actually on set at Fox years ago, and there were multiple blondes in the segment, and I got them all confused. I'm not going to name names. I felt bad. But they all look alike to me. What am I going to do?
It's the brand.
So anyway, I'm curious to hear from you on this, ladies and gentlemen. Do you support keeping it the way it is? We're about to, this weekend, we're springing forward. So you're getting extra daylight during the afternoon and the evening. Do you think this is where we need to keep it? Or do we need to go back in the fall? And I'm just praying that President Trump will actually interject himself on this. And for the president, I think it's a great thing because he'll have more time to play golf in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use one of the
What's the one that gives us the extra hour of sleep? Because I just want that one, and can we get that on loop?
Is that?
It's the other one.
It's the fall one. Yeah, the fall one is great because you know it's
America.
Always on Sunday, and you get to go to church a little bit later than usual. It's the one that we're getting ready to face. We're barreling down on it this weekend. That's the pain in the butt because you have to wake up so early.
I'm confused. Our friend Vicky Gandy, who's like one of the great realtors in America, she says, I mean, no, 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 no. I'm not sure what side of the...
She wants more sun because you've got to think the realtors out there, because she is a real estate agent, they need more daylight. To do the listings, because you have to put your property out there and then you do listings and people drop by during the day. So that actually helps real estate agents to get an extra hour.
I like that. All right. 901-260-5926. I'm just curious here. President Trump says the nation is divided. I don't think we're divided. I think there's the right way of thinking and
clearly,
the wrong way.
You're wrong and I'm right. So we are divided.
901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight. Got to take a break. We have a great, great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking to Glenn Jacobs, the Knox County mayor, also former WWE guy. So he knows Linda McMahon. Also, we're going to be talking to Maine State Representative Gregory Swallow, and he is all over stopping the illegal invasion of his state. That's going to be a great conversation as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down. And we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. Or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today. All right, welcome back, everybody. President Trump speaking from the Oval Office. We're going to keep you updated on what the president has to say, and we'll break in if any breaking news comes out of all of that. Also, want to remind you, today is Friday. And we are launching an effort. We kicked off yesterday, and you guys did such a great job. Over $600 raised. We've got a goal of $20,000. We are raising money for our friends at Food for the Poor. This is a combo effort with my friends Larry Elder and Hugh Hewitt. And, folks, one of the most important things that we believe is that charity should come from the heart and not the government. And so, therefore, we're asking you to help our friends at Food for the Poor. They are a Christian ministry. They don't get a single penny of government assistance, none of that. No USAID stuff. No, this is just fellow Christians, fellow friends, compassionately giving money to help feed children and to make sure they're getting a good education. And one of the reasons why that's important is we want them to stay in their countries, to make their countries great, just like we're trying to make our country great. And so one of the ways you can do that is going to our website right now, toddstearns.com. Click on the blue banner at the top of the page. We want to hit, let's just say, $1,500 today. So if you can, we want you to go, and if it's $5, that's great. We're asking for $100. It feeds a child for an entire year. 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever you can give. Now, if you give $100 or more, we're going to give you a beautiful Gulf of America postcard that our team created. And also, we're going to give you a signed copy of my book. You're going to love it. And just a way of saying thank you. And so many of you folks have already donated. And I told you I wanted to give you folks a shout out. And we're going to do that right now. We want to say hello to Donna from Baltimore. And Donna, well done you, making a $100 gift. Donna just fed a child for an entire year for $100. Donna, thank you so very much. Kimberly from Canton, Ohio, made a $50 donation. So we certainly appreciate you, Kimberly. Cindy in Orange Beach, $50 donation. And Leanne, $100. And we're going to be periodically updating this list through the entire show as we try to reach our goal of $1,500 by the end of the show today. So head on over now and make that donation. Click on the blue banner at the very top of toddstearns.com, and we're going to give you a shout out and honor your help as we feed these kids and help these kids out. Wow, what a great, thank you all so very much. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We're going to start our day in Memphis, Tennessee. Laverne is listening to us on KWAM in Memphis. All right, Laverne, what say you about daylight saving time?
Yeah, I absolutely love daylight saving time. Ever since I was a little girl, I used to look forward
to the days being longer and the nights being shorter. Also, I play softball, and if the outfield is facing the west, the sun is going to be in my eye, at least until it goes down around 7 or 8. But what I really like about it is during Halloween, the kids can get out and go trick-or-treating at 4 and 5 and 5 and 6, and they're back home by 7. We can lock our doors and go to bed.
I think I'm the only, maybe I'm in the minority here, Laverne. I love having the sunlight in the late afternoons.
Okay. It has its advantages. That's why I like it for half a year, sunlight, and then the other half, dark.
All right. So fair enough. There's Laverne, and Laverne, I understand you play softball as well. So that, I could see where that would be an issue. If you're out there playing softball and you're in the outfield, I could see where the sunlight would be a problem.
I almost T-boned a Mack truck the other day because of the new... No, I'm not kidding you, you guys. The morning commute totally is different when we get that extra hour because that sun is right in your face. And I just like driving into work when it's cold. Or not cold, dark outside and cool.
So, right. Laverne, yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Richard in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, over near Nashville. Hi, Richard. What say you?
Good morning. And, Todd, I don't want to ruin your day, but I agree with Ben. And as a little history on DST, you know who really we have to blame for this? Benjamin Franklin, because he was in Paris in 1784. That's where he dreamt up this little thing called an economical project for diminishing the cost of light. You know why he dreamt that up? So you wouldn't have to burn candles as long as you did.
But also, Richard, that was a parody. He was writing a parody, and people took it as the gospel truth. And you're right. I mean, people took that seriously, and here we are. You know, having to turn on flashlights at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah,
sorry about
the,
that,
the
Richard.
The other thing with DST in 1916, you know who brought it up? Germany. They adopted it to save fuel. And Britain followed Germany. And then the U.S. followed Britain. But cutting to the chase, we have terms now that people are probably unaware of, but they're linguistic terms. We use them all the time, and people just take them for granted. But related to this, because in 1966, Congress passed the Uniform Time Act, but the terms that I'm referring to are summertime and wintertime.
Well, and yeah, Richard, we are coming up on a hard break here, my friend, but we've got you down, and so far I'm clearly in the minority on my own show.
Yeah, so clearly the country is very divided on this one, Todd.
No, they're just wrong.
No, literally, if you look at the studies, there are more car crashes as a result of all of this, so we want our drivers out there to be very safe.
This story just coming in from the Pentagon. You know, they're cleaning up all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion garbage, and it is a big job. So one of the ways they're doing that is they're deleting all the DEI content from media and digital platforms, and they're saying as many as 100,000 photos and images and messages will be deleted. So far, 26,000 have been targeted. But I'm afraid that the Pentagon, which I salute their efforts here, my hat is off to them, but they've got to do a better job at context. Because one of the photos that's being marked for deletion is an image of the B-29 bomber that dropped the big bomb on Hiroshima. It was Colonel Paul Tibbetts Jr. was the pilot of the B-29. So anyway, there's a photo on the military website that has been now flagged, marked for deletion, Colonel Tibbetts in front of his plane, which was named after his mother, the Enola Gay. And apparently the word gay triggered something in the search. And so therefore the photograph is now being marked for deletion.
Is the plane gay?
No, and neither is Mrs. Tibbetts. Mrs. Tibbetts was not a lesbian.
Okay, so
we checked.
So you know how you can like find a document or an email or a text and you just type in the keyword? That must have been what they were doing. They were like lesbian, gay, pansexual, and any word that just, okay.
And,
wow.
And another related move, apparently every reference to Lebanese has also been removed. I think somebody, that might have been a typo.
Yeah.
We're working to verify that. So, all right, we're gonna let Secretary Hegseth know that Mrs. Tibbetts was not a lesbian. And as far as we know, the B-29, they were just dropping bombs, nothing else. There's nothing going on there sexually. 901-260-5926. This is Open Line Friday. You're listening to the Todd Stern Show. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with food for the poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future.
Most of the publicity has been on the spending cuts. And look, I'm all for them. I think Elon Musk is a rock star. The tofu crowd is mad. But, you know, when you trim fat, pigs squeal. That's just the way the world works. That's a law of nature.
Yeah, it's true. I think we learned this in science class. Good for you. That was Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. Talking about all of the fat that's being trimmed. So far, we believe about 10,000 government jobs have been eliminated. And guess what? Things are going just fine. Everything is going swimmingly. And those numbers need to go up dramatically. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Real quick, let's go to the phone lines. And by the way, it is Open Line Friday. So whatever you want to talk about today, we will talk about 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Joe in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Todd, a pleasure to be on your front porch this afternoon.
Thank you.
I just want you to know that I'm in agreement with you on the sunshine. I own a lawn business, and to have the long days during the summer sure does help out instead of it being dark at 5 o'clock.
I have to tell you this, Joe. One of my great pet peeves is when they're mowing the grass at like 5:30 in the morning. That drives me bonkers. So I am glad that you are thinking right, Joe.
Well, have the Gen Zers not heard the old phrase, "the early bird gets the worm"?
Well, here we go. You've riled up Dieter here.
I can get my worms in the dark, okay? It's possible. It's maybe not as easy, but I love that extra hour of sleep, and I function more. See, Todd's one of these people. He's like Trump. He gets four. Joe, I got an email from Todd at 1 o'clock in the morning. Todd is up at 4 in the morning. When does the guy sleep? It's not good for you. So I think this generation of Todd folks, they can function with the little hours of sleep. For Gen Zers, I'll speak on behalf of all of them collectively. We need at least 10. So that's why I stand where I stand.
Well, Todd and I are the exact same age. So I understand where he's coming from. And as you get a little bit older, Ben, you'll understand. You'll be able to function on a little less sleep.
It's true. And you know this, Joe. I actually went to bed early last night. I went to bed at 8 o'clock and woke up at 1 o'clock. And you know why we wake up, Joe, men of our age. So then I went back to sleep again. So.
Yeah.
It happens.
I know, I've heard that, too. I thought, I'll go to bed earlier so I can get up early. Yeah, still wake up early. So
Still wake up early. It's true.
But I'm all for the sunshine.
All right. Good stuff, Joe. Look, have a great weekend, and thanks for calling in. So I have a question for you guys. Did you guys ever have the measles as a kid, or did you have the? Did you get
chickenpox?
You had chickenpox.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan, did you ever have the measles?
No, I got my shots.
You got your shots. All right. So I'm wondering. You know, there's a lot of people that are just raging right now about parents that are not giving their kids the vaccines. Right. Back when I was a kid, and again, Joe and I are Gen Xers. And I guess we were tougher stock, because there was a time back when we were growing up that you would not go and get a vaccine for something like the measles or the chickenpox. I don't know. My family may have just been unique to that. But I want to play some audio. This is from The Brady Bunch, one of my favorite shows as a kid growing up. And they actually did an episode when one of the Brady kids came down with the measles. And here's what happened. And this is, by the way, this is how I think every family in America during that time actually dealt with the measles.
What are you doing home from school?
They sent me home. Measles.
It's either measles or a strange case of red freckles.
You have got a temperature.
They told me 101.1. What's the record?
Never mind.
Oh, are you sure it's the measles?
Well, he certainly got all the symptoms. A slight temperature, a lot of dots, and a great big smile.
A great big smile?
No school for a few days.
Say hello to my dotted son for me. Tell him I'll bring him some comic books and I'll see you later, dear.
Okay, honey, bye.
Boy, this is the life, isn't it?
Yeah, if you have to get sick, you sure can't beat the measles.
That's right.
No medicine.
Inside or out, like shots, I mean.
Don't even mention shots. Yeah.
Dad says I should go to school.
7 students confirmed with measles, 4 others possible.
Wow, they had to have been vaccinated.
These moms never vaccinated their kids and lied about it. Vaccines are harmful.
You are endangering the health of every child in this city.
Liv, Noah's turning blue.
Call 911.
All new SBU, next Wednesday at 9, 8 central, here on NBC.
Okay. So look, here's the deal. People now think that you're committing child abuse if you don't get your kids vaccinated. And there's a big story circulating that there are measles outbreaks all over America as the numbers of parents that are getting their kids vaccinated has declined. But back in the day, we would actually, our parents, our moms would throw measles parties so all the kids in the neighborhood could get measles.
Is this true?
Oh,
there is no way this is true. Because literally, I know my sister's listening right now, and she is turning off the show because, like, she's one of those moms that she won't take her kids around. And if she knows that there's one mom in her friend group that has not vaccinated her kids for the measles, she won't show up. So the fact that you're alleging, because I don't know if I believe you, that you have a group of parents that are like, the more the merrier, the more measles the merrier, the better we'll get through it and just get right back to normal.
It's very contagious. So, yeah, so you would just get everybody
together.
I thought
it killed you.
Get some hot dogs and some Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah.
Bobbing for apples, I guess.
That's it. Yeah. So, I mean, my mom may have just been, but all the kids in our neighborhood used to do that. And we got
the
measles.
Did you ever get the measles?
Yeah, I got the measles.
Oh. Wow. And you're here.
One
you're alive.
Done. Yeah. Had the chicken pox, too.
So it's not going to kill you? Because everybody right now is freaking out. It's all over my TikTok that, like, if you don't get the measles shot, you are going to die. But I thought also, like, is that a scare tactic to just get the measles vaccines? I do know that little babies, like babies under 1, should probably get, I don't know. I'm not RFK Jr., all right? This is crazy, though.
So it's better, you're safer getting the measles as a child than you are as an adult.
Okay.
So parents, back in the 1970s, our parents would get us all together for these measles parties, and you would deliberately expose your kids to the disease.
A pinata, or bobbing for apples, blind man's bluff, and the goal was the more kids with the measles, the quicker you get through it, and you could get back to your school and curriculum.
They call them pox parties.
This
like chicken pox, measles.
Wow.
What, you act like this is like abuse or something.
Yeah, it's kind of appalling to hear. This is insane. Well, then what happened when you got the measles? Was it just a thermostat? They checked your temperature. They got you on amoxicillin.
I don't know, aspirin.
I don't know.
BC powder. Maybe some Flintstones vitamins.
Are they itchy? Because oh, yes.
You always end up calamine lotion.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Let's go to the phones. Robert in Ocala, Florida. Robert, Ben Dieter doesn't believe that back in the 70s, we were like getting down with the measles.
Absolutely. I was born in 1962, and that's exactly what happened, because once you got the measles, you didn't get them again.
So that's
a big party.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days, and those were a lot of, because it was sort of a rite of passage if you were a child, right? You got measles, you got chickenpox.
Absolutely. And that was the best way to not have to worry about getting it if you were going to go on a trip. Made sure everybody was staying in town for about a week or so. They'd have a party when somebody ended up getting it somehow, and everybody else in the neighborhood got it, and it was done, and everybody could play outside till the lights came on.
So you're saying that your measles vaccine was the measles. The vaccine to not get measles was just to just get it over with instead of getting vaccinated.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. Yep.
They also had chicken pox parties, Ben. I don't want to alarm you.
Yeah.
Well, right. That's right.
It's true.
So then you're making the argument your schools weren't checking to make sure you had all your vaccines. Because that was the issue with me. Like, my mom was like, August, right before school starts, you've got to go to the doctor and make sure you check all the boxes. Boom. Like the tetanus shot, the chicken pox, and the measles shot.
That's it.
But if you had already had the measles, then you didn't have to have the shot.
Oh.
There you go. All right, Robert, thank you. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Our good friend Todd Lochner from our favorite car dealership in America, Principal Toyota.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, we're just hanging out. I'm just concerned. Does everybody here, have you had the measles in the building? That's all I want to know now.
Okay, so Ben, yes. I was born in 68, and I can remember very vividly when I was 4 years old getting the chicken pox extremely bad. And when I came down with it, several kids were invited over so they could get the chicken pox. And then later, several years later, we got the measles, and it happened pretty much the same way. But yeah, the vaccines were actually getting the chicken pox. So there's a lot of controversy around this, and I don't want to get into, I don't want to say anything that's going to offend anybody by any means, but there's research that most of the children that had really bad side effects or a few that died and with the measles was because they were malnourished children. And so most healthy children, I'm not a doctor by any means, so do not take me, do your own research is what I'm getting at. But if, most nurtured children that are fed well and have the proper nutrients, it's a fever and a rash and you get over it. Mm.
So, Todd, wow. And the show back in our day, it was, you were either Partridge Family or the Brady Bunch. That Brady Bunch episode we played a clip from has actually caused all sorts of controversy over at NPR. And one of the TV producers is now saying they're attacking the Brady Bunch as being anti-vax. And I'm not quite sure that's the point of that episode. That was just really illustrating what it was like back in the day.
Right. I mean, if you remember when we grew up, I mean, there was only a few vaccines that a kid would get, and it was, We didn't get vaccinated for measles or chickenpox. You did get vaccinated for the smallpox, which was, that left that little scar indention on your shoulder.
Right.
The rest of them, that was pretty much it. That and tetanus. That was about it. And I believe in 1992, they changed the mandate to where, children, they get a lot of vaccines now. It's a lot, and they give them all at one time, which is, hey, right, wrong, or indifferent, believe what you want. I'm not advocating either way. I'm just saying it does seem odd that when me and you were growing up, it was one in every 30, 40,000 kids that got autism. And today, after they changed all the vaccine mandates, you're at one in 36. That's pretty scary. Now, they'll say that, well, there's just better ways of detecting autism now. I think you'd pretty much know if your child had autism.
Yeah, I'm with you, Todd. Something is off and something is not right there. And again, I think these are decisions that need to be made by parents. And, you know, back in the day, and I think just Gen X, we were just a rough and tumble generation. You got hurt, you know, your mom, you know, unless there was a bone sticking out, you know, she'd just rub a little dirt on it. You'll be all right.
But here's the funny thing that a lot of people may not like me about, but I'll go ahead and say it. Isn't it ironic that before they passed the law that vaccines and the companies that made vaccines could not be sued for adverse effects, that the schedules went through the roof?
How about that? Mm-hmm.
Before then, it was just a few vaccines. Basically, your tetanus shot and your smallpox and maybe one or two others. And then after that, these kids have, I mean, by the time you're 1 year old, I think it's over, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's over 40 shots or something like that. I don't know, but it's ridiculous.
Todd, we got to leave it there, my friend. It is good hearing from you. And Dieter's loving it. Dieter, how's the car driving?
The car's amazing. Everybody go to Principal Toyota. 5 stars. Todd, amazing car. Love the wheels. And shout out to Andy, the great sales.
Thank you.
Yeah, we love it.
Thank you very much.
All right,
buddy. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. Todd Lochner from Memphis, Tennessee, over at Principal Toyota. And we just love them. They support KWAM, and they got Ben Dieter a new car.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
riding
nice.
Riding in style.
Pretty nice ride. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've got Evelyn in Pennsylvania, Jeff in North Carolina. Lines are open, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. In the meantime, don't forget, head over to ToddStearns.com in the break. We are raising money for our friends at Food for the Poor. Man, some of you folks have already made the donations. We're getting close to our $1,500 mark for the day, but we want to exceed that, and you can help us out by going to ToddStearns.com right now. Click on the blue banner at the very top of the page. We'll be right back, folks. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Maybe we need to throw a measles party. Let's go to the phone lines. Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Evelyn. Hi, Evelyn. What's on your mind?
Well, it's the vaccinations, period. I was born in 1947. I had polio, I think, a vaccination. We all got the measles, all got the chicken pox. I raised my kids in the 70s, and they got the chicken pox and the measles. Everybody survived. I don't even know if there were vaccinations when I was a kid for those things, I think that might be a new development. And I thought the gentleman's autism comment was really interesting.
You know, isn't it interesting, the numbers of problems and health issues that children are having nowadays compared to when we were kids? Well, my mom was born in the same year you were, but when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have a lot of childhood disease and illness going around to the extent that we do nowadays.
I totally agree, and I don't think we need all that stuff. Anyhow, and we did. When one cousin got the chickenpox or the measles, we were very happy to visit, so we knew we could get it and have it over with. And be safe for life.
Evelyn, so I'm telling you right now, based on my friend group, my peers, if you tried that in 2025, CPS, Child Protective Services, would be at your door listening to this stuff. This is totally new.
Well, have you ever heard of helicopter parents?
Yes, I have.
Kind of sounds like we're going overboard. But anyhow, that's my thought, and have a blessed weekend.
Evelyn, you do as well, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Peggy in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Peggy. What say you?
Hi. I just wanted to talk a little bit about chickenpox. When I was born in 48, so when I was coming along, we didn't hear anything about having inoculations for any of this stuff. And it was just going through the schools. There were four kids in my family from first grade to 12th grade. Well, I was the youngest, and my sister just above me came home from school and gave it to me. I was 5 years old. She was in public schools. I was in a private school. And it wasn't because we weren't eating well. I was a chunky little thing, so I got so sick. I got chicken pox first, and before I got over that, my sister brought home from her school, the public school, she brought home measles, and then my fever was just way up.
But, Peggy, you got over it, and everything was okay, and, you know, life was able to get back to normal. So, there you go. Peggy, I hate to do this. We have got to skedaddle. We've got to take a mandatory computer break here, but thank you for calling in. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926, or whatever. That's 901-260-5926. Go. Website, ToddStearns.com. Let's help feed some kids.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, we've been looking at these jobs numbers that came out earlier today, and I know that the media has already jumped on this, and they're piling on and saying, oh, Trump is causing more people to lose their jobs. That's not what is going on here. And I want to explain some things. And when it comes to the economy, you need to be prepared for what's about to happen. There could very well be a recession coming, but this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This has everything to do with the economic policies of the past 4 years. And the chickens are coming home to roost, those that are still alive and were not, you know, slaughtered in the genocide. But this is going to take time for the president to work all this out. You can't just wave a magic wand and boom, you're going to be able to afford eggs. But I want to say this. There are some very good glimmers here. First of all, 10,000 10,000 government jobs eliminated. The job gains for native-born Americans has now exceeded the job gains for the illegals and the foreign-born workers. 284,000 for American-born workers, 87,000 for foreign-born and the migrants. By the way, that's the first time that's happened in over 15 months. So we are heading in the right direction. Trump is dragging us in the right direction. Also, I want to play some audio here from Linda McMahon. She was on a lot of the early morning TV shows in cable news world. And here's what she had to say about cracking down on these Jew haters on the university campuses. Cut eight.
Do you know for sure he's definitely going to abolish the Department of Education?
He's been very clear about that. I mean, he couldn't be any more clear when he said he wants me to put myself out of a job.
How did you feel about that?
But I think there is definitely a role for education to make sure that as we move education back to the states, that we are providing the tools for the governors, for the teachers, that we can provide them with research to show best practices. Because the president's goal really is to see our scores go up. You know, when 70%, you know, if our students cannot read with proficiency, I mean, that's just incredibly difficult to swallow. And he's just not going to accept it.
Especially when the schools are focused so much on other things like DEI and telling our children they can transition. I want my child to learn about math and science and reading, because if you look at the stats, we're well below in all of these. And President Trump says we spend more money than any other country, yet we're one of the lowest.
Absolutely. And that's intolerable. So we really have to make sure that our teachers are focused on teaching basics. You know, let's get back to the science of reading. Let's teach it phonetically. We've seen great results in Louisiana, Mississippi, other states that have put programs in place. Their scores come up. They're
Iowa,
rising.
Indiana, yes. The president was talking about.
Yeah.
So if you give this money back to the states, how will you be able to determine what they're teaching, curriculum?
The Department of Education does not set curriculum.
Department do?
The department actually does a lot of research. We see a lot of programs. We make sure that funds are getting into the states that are by statute. But those can, you know, flow in different ways back to the states.
Do we need this department?
No, we don't.
No, we really don't. And it is time to abolish it and return all of the power to the local schools. And that's what Linda McMahon has been promoting and talking about. As a matter of fact, you know, when you go back and you look at these test scores, and this is what kills me, is that we got kids graduating that cannot read. There are a couple of lawsuits. I think there was one in Tennessee where a teenager sued the school district because the teenager could not read. What? Okay, I get that, and yeah, the school bears some responsibility, but if you are a child and you can't read and you're 18 years old and you can't read, you can't write, that's on you and that's on mommy and daddy. That tells me there was a lot of neglect going on in that household. That's what that tells me. So anyway, good for you, Linda McMahon, and I hope it all works out. I really do. We have got to abolish the Department of Education. We've got to fix that, and that's got to be a major priority. By the way, President Trump just announced he's suspending $400 million in government funding for Columbia University. The president says Columbia refuses to crack down on anti-Semitism. They refuse to crack down on these Jew haters, and until they do, they're not getting a single penny of government money. May I just suggest to the president, he also needs to start cracking down on these government-funded universities, these taxpayer-funded universities that are targeting Christian students as well, because they've been under attack for a long time, a very long time. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Have you seen this video that's been circulating? And it's got Jasmine Crockett, AOC, and they're all they're posing as if they're fighters. And the video is called Choose Your Fighter. This is a video that has been, wow, it is so horribly bad. And I'm telling you, Trump has broken the Democrat Party to the point that this could become a generational loss for the Democrats. Because what's happening is they've got all these, I know who they've got these millennials, these woke Gen Zers, and they're the ones telling all of these old fuddy-duddy Democrats to act cooler, to act hipper, to get on TikTok. That's what's going on here, and it's not working. So now you've got all these folks like Jasmine Crockett, the faux ghetto chick, and the others, and they're doing these videos. Scott Jennings on CNN, you got to listen to this. Cut three.
Anytime you do something creative, you're going to get criticism, right? But I actually applaud them for trying to do something different. And here's the reality. 7 million followers, whether you think it's cringe or you like it, we're on CNN on a Thursday night, and we're talking about it on national TV.
But I guess my question is, to what end? I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. I mean, maybe you will get 7 million eyeballs, but, what is the point?
I am not accustomed to helping your party do anything.
Yep.
But let me give you some advice. This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And if you read the comments today, Lord have mercy. Look, scrambling for new social media and communication strategies is not a replacement for fixing what's actually wrong. Your party has a 21% approval rating right now, congressional Democrats.
Well, let's talk about fixing what's wrong. Donald Trump is doing nothing for the American people.
He has a 50% approval rating.
He's doing nothing for the American people.
And so
he's
lowering
the cost of living.
Advice
he tells lies.
Fix the policy. And leave the gimmicks behind.
Yes, and let's make policy. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate Scott Jennings, and I get where he's coming from, but I say don't help him. You know, they think this is going to attract younger voters. This is going to appeal to the American people. All right, have at it. I want to see more fighter videos. That's what I want to see. Jeez. By the way, have you seen that? Delaro is her name. She is the Congress gal with the purple hair. She literally has purple hair. And somebody told her that was a very good look for her.
She looks so bad and just so grumpy. I think she's gone viral a little bit for how she appeared in Trump's State of the Union address. Just very discontent people. Remember, here's what I want to say. This was the party of joy. Remember, Kamala Harris, they really tried making joy a thing. And it's so funny to me how quickly Democrats have lost their joy, their riz, the charisma, I should say. And now they're just lashing out. They're miserable and they've got nothing. They are truly a party in demise.
They got nothing.
Yeah.
And I love it when you come armed with the facts to these people. They become discombobulated. Don Lemon, I don't know why this is trending on socials, and I did not see this episode of his show. He had a British woman on talking about reparations and slavery, and the British guest was all in favor of reparations, and I don't think Don Lemon knew. Oh, pardon me, Lemon. I call him Lemon. You know, because he's very frou-frou.
Yeah.
Anyway, he wasn't aware of why the British guest was in favor of reparations, and it left him speechless. Let's take a listen.
And then you have those who are asking for reparations for colonialism, and they're wondering, you know, $100 billion, $24 billion here and there, $500 million there. Some people want to be paid back, and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are... You know, you have all of this vast wealth. Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa. And when that crossed the entire world, when the slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2,000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died in the high seas trying to stop the slavery, that those families should receive something too, I think, at the same time.
This is brilliant. And Don Lemon was just speechless, literally speechless at the end. And he said, well, it's certainly an interesting topic to discuss.
Well, here's what's so interesting. They're ignorant. they're very ignorant people, Todd, and everybody likes to beat up on America because America is the country that made slavery a thing. And everybody's like if you actually went to school and you were taught the history of slavery, everybody knows it started in Africa.
Well, I mean, go all the way back to the times of the pharaohs and when the Jews were enslaved. I mean, anybody who's read the Old Testament knows the stories of Moses leading the people out of bondage. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I love this idea that, and you don't, it's hard to think about this, but if you think logically, it was actually white British people who tried to stop the Africans from selling their own people into slavery. So it's the white man who tried to stop slavery.
Mm-hmm. And the way that Don Lemon and Jasmine Crockett, who's also a proponent of reparations, how they want reparations to be paid out is based on skin color. Like, hello, Todd, you're white, so you've got to pay the $1,000 to black people. And that's just dishonest, and it's void of any logic. Wow. That's how Sunny Hostin, the chick on The View, she found out that her ancestors were actually slave owners, and Sunny Hostin is calling for reparations for black people, and it was her grandma that was enslaving the descendants.
She should have been fired. She should not have a place. The descendant of a slaveholder should not have a place on national television.
And who knows? Maybe Sunny Hostin should be paying reparations to you, Todd.
That's it.
Who knows?
My people were sharecroppers. We may have been slaves ourselves at one point. We were dirt poor.
And if you're not careful, you might end up being one.
There you go. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. Again, the exciting news, this month, we are launching our campaign to raise $20,000 to feed poor children. This is all about charity, giving from our hearts, not asking the government for a handout. And one of the ways we do that is partnering with Food for the Poor, an incredible Christian ministry. We have checked them out. They are on the up and up. They do some incredible ministry south of the border. And part of their ministry is to keep all those folks in their home countries so they can make their countries great again. And one of the ways they're doing that is making sure that children have food they need in their bellies and that children don't have to worry about where that next meal is going to come from. So we encourage you, give $100, feeds a child for an entire year. You may not have $100. You may have $1,000. We'll take it. You may have $10. We'll take that too, because it all adds up. So again, head to our website, toddstearns.com. Click on the blue banner at the very top of the page, and that will take you to the secure donation site. We're partnering with our friends Larry Elder and Hugh Hewitt, and our goal, ultimately, $20,000. That's where we want to get to, and we can certainly use all the help we can get from our great and generous and kind-hearted listeners. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and it is an honor to have you with us on this Open Line Friday. So many of you have been making donations, and I want to share some of the names with you of the folks that are making sure that kids have a meal, that they don't go to bed hungry. I want to say a very special thank you to Vivian from Memphis, listening to us on KWAM. Vivian just donated $100. Vivian, you have just fed a child for an entire year. Thank you so much for that. Nancy from Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Nancy donated $200. Nancy, two kids. You are feeding two kids for an entire year. Thank you so much for that. And Donna from Baltimore, $100. Donna, God bless you. That is so very kind. Kimberly from Ohio, $50. And we're going to be reading some more names in the next hour as you make your way over to our website, toddstearns.com. And you can donate. Click on that blue banner at the very top of the page, and you'll be able to join us in our efforts to help our friends at Food for the Poor. God bless you so very much for that. It's exciting. It's exciting just in one show to see the power of all of you folks getting out there, getting involved, and being a part of our efforts. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk sat down and interviewed Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. And it was a pretty fascinating conversation, and we're gonna hit on this a little bit later on. But I thought one of the funny things was that Newsom's own kid, his own son, is a huge Charlie Kirk fan. A cut number 10, please.
Last night, trying to put my son to bed, he's like, "No, Dad, what time? What time's Charlie gonna be here? What time?" And I'm like, "Dude, you're in school tomorrow." He's 13. He's like, "No. This morning, wakes up at 6 something. He's like, "I'm coming." I'm like, he literally would not leave the house.
Did you let him take off school?
No, he did. Of course not. He's not here for a good reason. But the point is
you canceled school for like 2 years. One day.
The point is the point, which is you are making a damn dent. Thanks.
Leah's, there's something to this. And when you look at Turning Point USA and that organization, it is very clear that younger Americans are now being drawn to the message of, and I wouldn't call what Charlie is doing as conservatism as much as it is populism, with certain tinges of conservatism. And that's not a criticism. It's just the reality. Because when you look at Turning Point USA, yes, they're all in on the transgender sports stuff, but that's as far as they're willing to go when it comes to, you know, marriage and what the Bible says about sex and things of that nature. And with those, on those issues, they have more in common with the left. But again, this is a fascinating thing that even the governor of California is now admitting that his own 13-year-old son is drawn to the message of organizations like Turning Point USA. And I think a lot of this, and I'm anxious to hear from parents on this, but I think a lot of it is that there is a masculinity about this populism, a masculinity that young boys are drawn to. And they're like, "Yeah, I want to be a part of something like that." Men who are afraid to get out there and be rough and tumble and take chances and take a stand, that is something that appeals to those young kids. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Don't forget, ToddStearns.com. Let's go help feed some kids, folks.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
A raging controversy, a couple of big raging controversies in the state of Maine, and one of them involves efforts by realtors and companies to build brand new housing exclusively for illegals on the taxpayer dime. Take a listen.
I just read an article that said they just built 60 new apartment complexes in Maine for migrants for free housing. Free housing, bro. For migrants in areas where there are already housing crises, where people cannot find housing like apartments and affordable housing. So the people who already live here are already struggling to find apartments. And then they're like, "Let's build 60 new apartment complexes just for the migrants and it'll be free." Please make it make sense. Why are we doing this? Why are we not building this for the people that already live here?
It is a terrific question, and it's something that certainly concerns my next guest. He's actually introduced a legislation that would prohibit the state from housing illegal aliens without approval from local communities. Let's welcome into the show State Representative Gregory Swallow. And Mr. Representative, an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So tell me, what concerns you about what this lady was just talking about? Is this a big problem, housing the illegals on taxpayer dimes?
Yes, it's a big problem. Many people are concerned about it. I know my constituents are very concerned. I hear about it all the time. It's a major topic among my fellow caucus people in the legislature. So, yes, it's and where it's going to end, nobody can really seem to determine.
So tell us about why you decided to introduce this bill.
Well, my bill is basically about the Maine's state of Maine sending what I call non-citizens into municipalities and trying to empower municipalities. And what it's about primarily is control. Maine, like many other states, is a home rule state. Home rule state meaning that a municipality can have its own charter, amend that charter, change the laws as long as they don't conflict with current laws or the Constitution. So people are very concerned as to what's going to happen in their municipalities for several reasons. But one of the primary reasons is just cost and control. So I've introduced this legislation to empower the municipalities, which technically they could possibly put an ordinance in to try to stop it. But this would simply stop the state of Maine by empowering them with this new legislation to get permission to send non-citizens by the state of Maine into municipalities.
When you look at all the things that are happening in your state, of course, your governor is refusing to work with the Trump administration on issues like girls and being protected in sports. One of your fellow Republican lawmakers being silenced by the Democrats. What is going on in your state?
Well, Maine has become a pretty progressive state. And but what's interesting about that is it depends on where you are in the state of Maine. In other words, certain sections of Maine are very progressive and others are very conservative. It's the more populated areas that are along the 95 corridor going south that are more progressive. As far as western Maine and northern Maine, it's fairly conservative, but it just isn't the numbers to take over as far as the majority in either the House and the Senate. Democrats have controlled the governorship, the House and the Senate now for several years.
Well, Mr. Representative, we're excited that you have introduced this bill. No doubt you're going to get some blowback from the Democrats, but you know how that goes. And we're going to pay very close attention to this.
Well, good. Maine has got some real problems as far as taxes. We're the fourth highest tax state in the nation. Our educational system has gone from in like 1992 based on NAEP testing from 1 and 2 at 4th and 8th grade math and reading down to in the 40s. But our costs have grown exponentially. So it's been an inverse relationship between cost and outcome in our public education system. It's gotten very expensive. We're one of the most expensive in this country now by state. And our electrical costs are 6th highest in the country now. And we're 4th highest in taxes, according to WalletHub. And that was before recent legislation that was just put in that's going to raise taxes, payroll taxes, considerably.
Just insane. Well, Representative Swallow, we certainly appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on the show today, and we're going to be paying very close attention to this legislation.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
There you go, folks. Representative Gregory Swallow, he is in the Maine House of Representatives, and I think it's a common sense piece of legislation. And this is, again, why it is so vitally important that you are electing people to the state houses that are conservatives, that are standing up for conservative values. So good for you. State Representative Gregory Swallow. Saw an interesting story, Dieter, in the stack of stuff here. A plus-sized influencer. Her name is Gracie Bawn. And she's got some, according to the reporting here, some junk in the trunk. She is a plus-size gal. And she actually requires, when she goes to like an amusement park, she requires two seats. So she's a big girl. She is now demanding that the McLaren sports cars increase their seat size to accommodate her badonkadonk. She says that supercars should be for everyone. And she posted a video for her 10 million people follow this woman on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. She's a big deal.
Well, clearly.
That's
a lot of followers.
Yeah. And she's got a lot of badonkadonk.
But wait, she's not that big. I mean, she's big, but she's 225 pounds. It's not like she's the chick from the unliftable liftable girl.
Are there photos? Can you flip through your story?
Well, I'm just saying that,
yeah. So
all the 225 pounds is in her buttocks.
Yep.
Wow. How is that possible?
So it's not the weight, 220 pounds isn't that heavy. Nope, that's real.
Are you kidding me?
She looks like a inverted time glass, one of those hourglass thingies.
No.
Inverted.
The beach balls, it looks like there's two beach balls there.
Yeah, and she's rather skinny. It's just all there in the waist.
There's no way this is real.
Call her Saturn.
That cannot.
Got the rings around the planet.
That cannot be natural.
Well, it never is, Todd. So 220 pounds, and it's all beneath the equator.
It's all in her butt. Yeah, otherwise, she's just a curvy person. But, I mean, this is like...
She makes Kim Kardashian look small.
So anyway, in one of the latest video clips, she can be seen struggling to squeeze into a McLaren sports car. Those things are really expensive. Are those ones with the wing doors? And she can't get inside. So she has a 55-inch caboose. That's huge. She was born... I'm reading here. This is written by Ben Cost. I don't know what...
New York Post.
New York Post, thank you. Ben Cost of the New York Post calls her a posteriorly endowed bombshell.
It's not by God, though. It's by
a
silicon.
There's no way that came out of a woman. There's no way. That's physically impossible. You can't tell me that's natural. So she's clearly had some injections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez, hello.
So what's the controversy again? I missed the story. I'm still looking at the photo.
The sports car, she can't fit in the sports car, and she wants the she's got a 55-inch caboose, and
she wants Porsche and Lamborghinis to change their sports model. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's it. What people are actually signing with the automakers here, and they're saying that poor car, that's auto abuse. You always say everything needs to be bigger. The world does not revolve around. That doesn't make any sense. The world does not revolve around you. I think there's a typo in the story. Mm-hmm. It is not the first. So she's accusing the car companies of actually being discriminatory.
No.
Due to her size.
You're not a victim. You did this to yourself. You went to Los Angeles and you sat down with a cosmetic surgeon and you got tires, rubber, I don't know, whatever rubber material they make tires, and they squirted it in her butt. Okay? She did this to herself.
So she did get injections.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's got 10 million followers, and it took $10 million to get that butt. That's how she got her following.
Isn't that like appropriation, though? She's pretending she's faux fat?
No, that's a good thing. I think if you want fat, you want it in your butt.
That's a lot of badonkadonk. What's the song, Baby Got Back, and then some?
Mm-hmm.
In February, she recalled how on a recent trip to Disneyland, reading from the New York Post here, where she requires two seats on the rides, she was constantly gawked at and even filmed by other guests. Quote, I couldn't believe my eyes. People were shocked to see my body, like, hello, this is America. Almost 40% of the people here are plus size, so why are they acting like I was some rare creature? I'm sorry,
it's because all of it is in your booty.
Mm-hmm.
220 pounds is not heavy, but it is.
Can I just ask a question? And I just mean this very sincerely.
Be careful, Todd.
How does she stand upright? How does she not, like, I mean, like, her? It's got to be hurting the back, right? Or maybe she does just, I guess when she falls over, she has that much rubber, she just bounces back.
Yeah.
Okay.
How does this woman sleep? She's got a bobber. How do you sleep, Todd, when it's that big? You would have to sleep almost standing up like you're a cow or a horse.
The social media star has also accused commercial airlines of making their seats too small for plus-sized people. Fortunately, she was able to work around that issue by purchasing her very own private jet. So what does she do for a living? Is that it? Just Instagram?
Injections. Injections.
Whiz.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I would, not that I have sympathy, because, you know, if you need to lose weight, you lose weight. You go on a diet. You stop eating the Ho-Hos and the Big Macs and the bucket of KFC.
But Weight Watchers isn't going to solve this crisis below the border.
Yeah, you know, she shows up at Jenny Craig. They're like, I don't think we can help you.
She already did all the squats you need.
Because it's not, she can't lose weight because she's purposely injecting her butt to make her bigger. So why is that McLaren's fault? I don't understand that. Why is it their fault? Why is it Disney's fault?
Yeah, someone just needs to take a needle. They need to go up like you did with the balloons and just, and it would just, problem solved. There you go. We're helping her out.
Kind of like a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
You know, it would be nice.
There'll be some saggage.
You know the camp meetings, Todd? The old tent meetings? I go home.
The old revival church. Yeah, I'm not laying hands on that.
No. I'm not saying you have to.
I rebuke you.
I'm saying that
buttocks.
My grandparents go to this church camp in Pennsylvania, and they have the most uncomfortable pews. Maybe some people still go to church that have pews.
Oh, yeah.
Those nasty, hard pews.
Hard wooden pews.
You know, I can't sit on them because my butt is so bony. And so this would be perfect because all the old ladies in the camp meeting bring those
cushions.
Yeah, the cushions.
You could have a built-in cushion.
She has a built-in cushion.
All right.
That's what it looks like.
This
she
is
could
weird.
Go to church.
Oh, all right. Folks, can I tell you, people have been asking me for the past week, why are you so wired up now? And I'm telling you, it's this new coffee that we have embraced here at the show. And you made a pot of it this morning. It was just delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Wired to Fish Coffee, ladies and gentlemen. I am a dark roast connoisseur, and I love this coffee. Look, the reason why is, first of all, they're conservative-owned. They're Christians. But the best part is it's one heck of a delicious cup of coffee. And one of the things that we do on this program, I know we have a lot of new listeners, is that we try all of the products, and if we like them, we support them. And if we don't, we don't. So I am telling you, you are going to love Wired to Fish Coffee. They have some incredibly delicious brews, all sorts of different blends, and you can go to wiredtofishcoffee.com. That's Wired, the number 2, fishcoffee.com. That's wiredtofishcoffee.com. And check out all the different varieties. May I just say something? If you're a chocolate and espresso fan, you got to get these delicious little candies. They're like espresso chocolate balls. Unbelievable. You're going to love it. Again, the wired2fishcoffee.com, wired the number 2fishcoffee.com. Use my code name, STARNS, and you're going to get 10% off your first order. That is a great deal. Again, code STARNS gets you 10% off your first order at wired2fishcoffee.com. We'll be right back.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
The phones. Dan in New Hampshire on this open line Friday. Hi, Dan. What you want to talk about?
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that interview. You do have to elect great people. You have to interview them. You got to talk to them and see what their positions are on things. And and do your research. I mean, when I'm looking at Tim Burchett in Tennessee over there,
Bad gummit. I mean,
this guy is the man. He's America First. He's an A-plus perfect 100 voter and in voting grade in Congress. And the other guy, I remember seeing his name, Ogles.
Andy Ogles, yeah.
Yeah. He's another one that has a perfect 100. So, I always look around. I get a spreadsheet, and I look at all their voting grades, so I remember those two names off the top of my head. But Tim Burchett actually does a lot. He goes on the media everywhere, and he speaks out and pushes back on the D.C. sewer. So that's just a great guy. So we got to keep him in there. That being said, President Trump was talking about the other day about the how they did the Logan Act, and we know that Chris Murphy, the senator, was involved. But I guarantee you, Obama has a mansion in D.C., so I guarantee you he was involved. Anthony Blinken was involved. Victoria Nuland was involved. Susan Rice was involved, and Ron McLean. And this whole thing with the Ukraine, everybody's going after Putin. Putin's not the bad guy in here. We've already touched on that. I mean, they're going after this guy relentlessly, and it's unbelievable. They're the ones that started this war, and it's China is the biggest threat here. Even Trump talks about it, and they're using Ukraine nothing but an industrial military industrial complex, a money laundering operation, and the media is complicit on it. Okay.
Yeah. Look, it's a fair point, Dan, that you raise. And my only thing is we got to start holding these people accountable. And if you violated the Logan Act, then you should go to jail for that. I mean, there are laws on the books. And that's the problem is everybody's very quick to forgive. And the problem is that kind of behavior has to be squashed like a bug. Dan, appreciate the call, and we'll pass along the compliments to Tim Burchett and Andy Ogles, two Tennessee guys, dadgummit. By the way, we've got some breaking news involving Elon and Tennessee. We're going to tell you about that coming up. Also, Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knox County, going to join us as well. Hey, don't forget, head over right away, ToddStearns.com, donate. Let's feed some kids, folks.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Joining us border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. And we have a great hour, a busy hour ahead. Coming up, Congressman Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin, a member of the House Budget Committee, also Oversight Committee. We got a lot to talk about there. Also, your calls. It is Open Line Friday. And a reminder that coming up, one more chance for us to give you a shout out. We are now raising money. I'm partnering with my good buddy Larry Elder and Hugh Hewitt, and we're raising money for children. It's called Food for the Poor, an incredible ministry, a powerful charity. They don't get a single government dime, And we're raising money so that we can feed hungry children. And you can make a donation right now by going to ToddStearns.com and clicking on the blue banner at the very top of the page. Again, that's ToddStearns.com. Click on that blue banner. We're going to be sharing names of donors coming up a little bit later on in the program. Well, earlier today, we told you about Linda McMahon. She went on all of the big shows. I want to play cut number six, please.
The initial blood.
Well, I can tell you the president has said he's absolutely not going to allow federal funds to be going to these universities that continue to allow anti-Semitism on its campus. And that's just something we're not going to do. And I think there are a lot of different ways to look at that. That funding supports research. It supports many other programs that the universities offer. So if universities like Columbia and the Department of Education has launched five investigations now into different universities to make sure that they are not allowing anti-Semitism. Kids ought to be able to go to college, and parents ought to feel good about their kids going to college, knowing they're in a safe environment. And to allow this kind of unrest, this is not about freedom of speech. We're talking about violence on campus.
I know.
And college presidents need to call in the police right away. They have to quell these uprisings and not allow faculty to be attacked or other students to be attacked. Mm-hmm. So we're warned.
Well said. And I'm glad to hear that from the coming from the new Secretary of Education. Our next guest knows Linda McMahon very well from his days back in professional wrestling. Glenn Jacobs, now the mayor of Knox County, one of the most powerful politicians, lawmakers in the entire state of Tennessee. Mayor, good to have you back with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
You know, you had Linda McMahon on Fox earlier today, Newsmax as well, and she said Trump was going to start cracking down. And about an hour ago, we learned that President Trump canceled a $400 million contract to Columbia University because they would not crack down on all these Jew haters on the campus.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is just how higher education operates nowadays, you know, and it's not about young people learning in many cases at these institutions. They're just crucibles that are producing leftist robots, right? They just repeat whatever, you know, whatever the cool thing is at the moment. And obviously that is not productive, and that shouldn't be the mission of secondary education, higher education in this country, right? So it's good to see that, you know, here at the University of Tennessee, I think they did a very good job of doing exactly what Linda was talking about. You are free to express your opinion. At the same time, the university is there for education, and kids and parents pay for that. So when you start infringing upon other people's rights, in this case, their right to have an education that they paid for because of disruptions, because of violence, frankly, which should never be accepted any time, that's a real problem. So this is a good move, and, you know, at so many of these universities, it's really the faculty that run the show. And the only way that you're going to get through that is through funding and, you know, things like looking at tenure, and they have what other occupation can you be in where you literally have a job for life and you can never be fired except under just a very narrow set of circumstances. So obviously I think this is a good thing.
I was curious to hear your thoughts on Linda McMahon. I mean, you've known her for a long time. What do you think about her new responsibilities in the administration?
Linda will do a great job. She is very sharp. She's a great business person. You know, she was the back office person for many years at WWE, who's overseeing the business side of that organization. Obviously, in the first Trump administration, she was a small business administrator, so she has experience in government as well. She was also on the Connecticut State Board of Education. And, you know, it's funny because people say, well, she's not an educator. Well, that's not what those roles are, right? You're not an educator. You're an administrator. You're the director. You're the secretary of the organization. The problem is often we get people who might be subject matter experts in that particular area, but they're not administrators. They're not whatever. You know, one of the things that we've done here in Knox County is, you know, we have people that that know about finance as our senior directors in many of our departments, because yes, you have to have subject matter expertise, but you're also putting together budgets. You're also doing all these other things. And it's not just about, oh, I know everything about this particular area or this particular subject. It's also, you have to be able to run a department. Then obviously, I believe that the end result here is a great downsizing and hopefully ultimately an elimination of the Department of Education and returning that function to the states, which is where it belongs anyway.
What would you like to see happen? Let's say that that power is in fact restored and returned to the states. What would that mean for schools in, say, the volunteer state?
Well, for us, it just gives us more authority over education here in the state. And you hear people say, well, the money goes away. Well, where do you think money comes from to begin with?
Yeah.
The federal government doesn't have an ocean of money that it just it can turn the tap on and get all this money. The federal government, just like every other government, the only way that it can get its money is from taxpayers, is from borrowing, or they do have the unique ability to print money, which is incredibly destructive. And the result we've seen of that is all the inflation throughout the economy. But you would have a system which is much more streamlined. And one of the most important things about the 10th Amendment and allowing states purview over areas that the Constitution grants that is competition between the states. And instead of a one-size-fits-all policy coming out of Washington, D.C., which limits competition, we might do things differently here in Tennessee. Michigan or North Carolina might do some other stuff. And we can all learn from each other, and we can actually see best practices and different things happening as opposed to this is the only way you can do education. And we don't know if that's the best way or if that's not the best way simply because there's no comparison.
I have to tell you, I've been watching the Democrats, and it's really jaw-dropping. And you have to give credit where credit is due because Nancy Pelosi had everybody walking in lockstep. But she's no longer in power, no longer in control, and it's a free-for-all. And honest to goodness, Mr. Mayor, I think President Trump has broken the Democrat Party.
I 100% agree. The only thing that is driving the Democrats right now, literally their platform is we hate Trump, and we are going to oppose everything Trump does. So at his address, you have a little boy who has cancer survivor, and he is made an honorary member of the Secret Service. You don't stand up and clap for that. What is wrong with you folks? And then the reason is because it's Donald Trump doing it. And it's literally gotten to the point to where Trump could say the sky's blue, and they're like, no, it ain't, and we're going to file a bill saying it ain't.
Exactly.
Well, that's not how you do things. And that's not the role of an opposition party either. You know, we hear the term opposition party and we think, oh, they're supposed to oppose everything. Now, in many cases, what they do is they keep the party in power honest. What is happening now with the Democrats is they're just so out of touch. They're so bitter. They're just reeling. They're so disorganized, so dysfunctional that there's just no, literally, there's no cognitive thought going on with them other than we hate Trump, and if he says something, we're going to say the opposite.
Mr. Mayor, before we let you go, you know, there are a lot of moving parts right now in Tennessee politics. We are blessed to be in a state controlled by Republicans. Marsha Blackburn's looking at maybe running for governor. John Rose announcing that longtime congressman, he's going to be, you know, looking at that as well. But I'm curious. I know I've seen you in Memphis a time or two, and that normally is code for I may be running for something bigger. Would you see if there's an open Senate seat, would you consider running for that?
Yeah, you know, Todd, I'm not sure what I'm going to do or what the future holds. I've always said that I never wanted to go to Washington, D.C., because I thought that the fight for freedom and justice in the American dream or freedom and liberty in the American dream was going to happen at the state level. With Trump now back in office and many of the things that he's been doing, I look at the federal government, I'm like, wow, this is transformational. And what he is doing, what Elon Musk is doing, you know, the other people in his cabinet, things could really change for the better. So I can't say anymore that I would never go to Washington, D.C., because I do believe that this is just a monumental period in our history, and very constructive things are happening. At the same time, you know, the political landscape is always very fluid and always dynamic, very dynamic. So it just kind of depends on what happens in the future, what my family thinks of things, and you know, all those sort of stuff. But it's still too early. I mean, I still have a year and a half left as mayor, so it's still a little too early for me to think, oh gosh, you know, what's next? I just want to continue doing the best that I can as mayor.
Well, you know, we base my national show out of Memphis, my hometown. I own the News Talk radio station here, KWAM. So you're more than welcome to come and make your official announcement on KWAM.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. Thank you so very much. And I appreciate everything you do to be a strong conservative voice.
Well, likewise, Mr. Mayor, we're blessed to have you in the volunteer state. And I think exciting days are ahead for all of us. And we wish you nothing but the best.
100% agree. Appreciate it, brother. Talk to you later. Thank you.
All right. There you go. The mayor of Knox County, that's over in eastern Tennessee, Glenn Jacobs. And, man, what a fierce conservative warrior this guy is. And between you and me, I think he'd make a terrific U.S. Senator if Marsha Blackburn decides to come back home. So we'll see how things play out here. All right, we've got to take a quick break. This is Open Line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. This is the day that you can call in and you can do that. So I want to encourage you also tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. Wow, we have a great show lined up for you on Newsmax TV. My good friend Mike Huckabee is going to join us. Also, Glenn Jacobs is going to be back. He's going to be on the TV show tonight as well. So you're going to want to watch. Again, it is 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. You can watch, by the way, on Newsmax.com. Speaking of Newsmax, huge news. Rob Schmidt beating CNN in the ratings. Millions are tuning into Newsmax every night. Rob is on Newsmax revealing the truth about Elon Musk and Doge. And I want to encourage you to watch tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Find out why Rob is the hottest person in cable news. Even President Trump is watching. You got to find out why. Just check out Newsmax on your cable system. You're going to get Rob, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Fennerty, so much more. Download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or home TV. It takes just seconds. And with Newsmax Plus, you can watch our great shows anytime. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com and start your free trial. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Make the switch to Newsmax today.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
You know, Ben Dieter, as we're watching these donations come rolling in for our friends over at Food for the Poor, one of the nice things about this, not only are you doing something very good to help kids, but you're also getting a tax-deductible gift. So you're going to be able to deduct this from your taxes. So anybody, if you've got like tons of money and you need a place to park some cash, well, you're going to be able to help a lot of kids, and you're also going to be able to get a nice tax deduction, too.
Googling tax deduction. Sorry, I'm learning how to do taxes. TurboTax. Here we go.
Oh,
yeah,
geez.
It's incredible. And it is super simple. All you have to do is go to ToddStarnes.com. They kind of walk you through donating. Sometimes when you donate to these different third-party websites, it can be confusing. You're not exactly sure if your money's going to the right place. We are 100% confident when you go to ToddStarnes.com, you'll be able to get your money, get that receipt, so you know that your money is actually making a difference.
That's right. And you're going to want to click on the blue banner at the very top of the page, as so many of you have already done. We started this in earnest yesterday. By the way, anybody who gives over $100, we will get that list from Food for the Poor, and we will send you a signed copy of my book And we're going to send you, and you saw these yesterday, our awesome Gulf of America postcards. Those are exclusive to the Todd Stern Show.
Absolutely.
They're really awesome. So here's what I want you to do. Go to ToddStearns.com right now. Click on that blue banner, just like Vivian did from Memphis, Tennessee, $100. Nancy from Gainesville, Georgia, $200. Thank you, Nancy. And again, this is all tax deductible. Donna made a gift, one-time gift of $100 from Baltimore, listening to us on WCBM. There is Leanne listening to us on KWAM. So we got a couple of Memphis folks donating $100. Leanne, thank you so very much. A number of people are making anonymous donations. We are well over $1,000. You know, we wanted to set a goal of $1,500 for today. So we're getting close. We are on our way. So thank you again, everybody, for your donations, helping our friends at Food for the Poor. And we're going to be doing this all month long. We do this once a year. And last year, we blew out our record, and we hope to do that again this year. Ben Dieter, can I ask you a question? What is going on at Southwest Airlines? A flight from Houston to Phoenix, and a woman, according to the video, she stripped down buck naked and started screaming. Just screaming, literally running up and down the aisle, screaming.
So the question to you, Todd, I have a question right back to you, is what do you do?
Applaud.
When someone, other than applaud, when someone strips down butt naked and starts going berserk. I mean, this is deranged behavior. Mid-flight.
So if I'm on Southwest Airlines, I would be thinking, oh, this is part of the pre-flight shtick, you know, because they do crazy stuff like sing or play the guitar.
No. Here's what I would be doing, because I'm worried. I hate Southwest. I refuse to fly Southwest because it's assigned seating. I mean, it's open seating. So you get to sit wherever you want to sit. And my fear would be that this person, this crazy lunatic that's butt naked, is going to sit beside me. And that's not happening. I don't want that mid-flight. The question I have is, why did she take off all of her clothes?
Could have been hot. You know, it's hard. Sometimes they don't have the AC on. And if you're in Houston or Phoenix, it's a little toasty in there.
Well, I wondered if she thought it was maybe a strip club, Todd? Because you know how you put your bags up? You have to put your hands up there and put your bags up there. She's pretending like those are almost poles. She's holding on to them like they're monkey bars and twirling down the aisle.
I find it interesting in the article, the only passengers on the plane that were complaining about the buck-naked woman running up and down the aisles were the other female passengers. No male passengers seemed to object.
She had a nice spray tan on. So maybe it wasn't completely unintentional.
All right, there you go. All right, 901-260-5926. Go to your phone calls coming up next. Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It is Friday. Exciting news around here. Elon's building another plant, another data center in Whitehaven, which is a Memphis area. That's huge news.
But you have every Democrat in Memphis, Todd. They're trying to self-sabotage this deal.
They don't want Elon in Memphis.
Tell them about Whitehaven. And we love Whitehaven. You grew up there. But tell them about it now.
That's right. Well, it was one of the original Memphis suburbs. And the Stearns family's been there since the 1920s. And so it changed over time. Now it's, almost 100% black. And it's a strong black middle class community. Mm-hmm. And it has been in the throes of chaos because of the crime and the corruption. And folks there, the small business community, is really working hard to try to make that change. And so for Elon to announce, hey, we're putting in a data center here, that's massive news.
Yeah, and you just hope that local lawmakers see that it is above and a bigger investment than just Elon Musk. That they would do this for their constituents,
exactly,
who would benefit from his dollars.
1,000%. So anyway, thank you. Welcome to Memphis, Elon. Let's go to the phone line. Salem, Oregon, KYKN. We love our friends over there. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to weigh in on the daylight saving time controversy. I am in favor. In fact, I would like it if they would just go to daylight saving time all the time. Because here in Oregon, we have gray skies most of the year. but our summers are gorgeous. And so I like sitting out on the deck. I like being able to barbecue, eat our dinner out on the deck at whatever hour of the day. It just makes more sense to me than standard time.
So you would prefer to, so when daylight saving time happens over the weekend, that's how you want it to be forever.
I would love that.
You see, Kathy, I knew there was a reason I liked you, because you agree with me.
Well, here's what I'm curious, Kathy. What, instead of all of the daylight savings time, I would love if we had one time zone just completely where you were actually in our time zone. Now, we're in central time zone. We have a congressman that just joined, and he's in eastern time zones. Are you Pacific out there, Kathy?
Yes, Pacific.
See, that's confusing to me. I kind of wish you were just sharing the same time zone with us. It would be 1:37 p.m. And what is it there? Not even noon yet.
No, it's 11:37 here.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see.
All right, Kathy, good hearing from you, my friend.
Okay.
All right, have a great one, great weekend. Let's go to Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Patty, what's going on?
Hey, hey, Dieter, you better man up. I'm going to be 65. I had the mumps, the measles. I had everything you could name. And guess what? I'm going to be 65.
You...
Don't give me that, okay? Oh, my God.
Patty, what you're saying is you've survived to tell the tale, even though you got all of the horrible things that I got injections for. I have a million vaccines in my body.
Well, you know what? And are you okay? You sound okay.
No, I think that explains a lot.
So good. I haven't had myocarditis yet.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You didn't take the shot, did you?
No, I here's the thing, Patty. I got one, and then finished with one. Yeah, no, the school that I went to, I was in college during COVID, and they rolled out the vaccine. It was like, everybody gets the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and they incentivized it. They were even giving us gift cards to get them. So I was like, who doesn't want free cash? So I went and got the vaccine, number one.
You're not sheep. You're a lion, man. You're not a sheep.
I know, I'm a lion. I know. I've come to my senses because Todd gave me a job.
You know what? I love you, Dieter. You know what? But I'm telling you, I even had my tonsils taken out. I went through hell in the 60s, okay? No.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the tonsils. Yeah. Methodist South, baby.
Hey, the ice cream, Todd. Come
oh, that
on,
was
man.
Some good I stuff. Mean, with the little wooden, with the wooden paddles.
Oh, my God, Todd. And you know what? And my father told us, you don't go out there and get dirt on you. I don't want you back in this house.
It's true.
Because he said your immune system has to get used to dirt. You kids don't go outside and play no more, Todd. That's why they're sick.
They're weak. Weak, Patty.
They're weak.
You're boomers. I'm Gen X. We know what it's like to slide down a slide that's made out of aluminum and 500 degrees.
It was so hot. I had got burns on it.
No.
I'm telling you.
Patty,
I want to mention one thing.
Yeah.
That's what I told Cassie. About that fight video with Jasmine Crockett. Crockett. I call it Jasmine Crockett. Keep it up. Keep on bringing them on, because the shovel...
They're digging their own hole. Digging it. They're digging it.
Yep.
Patty, good hearing from you, my friend. Have a great weekend. She calls you Dieter.
Yeah, and she called me weak because I'm a Gen Zer and got the measles vaccine.
All right. Wow. All right. 901-260-5926. We have been following these crazy stories about Republican town hall meetings and all the uproar. Our next guest hosted one of these town halls in Oshkosh. Let's bring into the conversation our good friend Glenn Grothman, the congressman from Wisconsin. And Congressman, good to have you with us. It's open line Friday, so people can call in and talk about whatever they want to talk about, Congressman.
Well, it's really fitting. You know, we arranged this interview a few days ago, but right now I'm kind of hiding out because I understand it in front of my office. We have like 40 protesters walking around with signs. So instead, I'm hanging out, talking to you guys.
We're glad we could be of service, Congressman.
Thank you.
You know, we could send. We just had Glenn Jacobs on, the mayor, the former WWE guy, Kane. He's the mayor in Knox County. We could send him up there if you need some, some assistance.
Maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea.
So
we'll drive by later, and they won't know it's me, but I'll just wave at them.
So what's going on here? I just don't think the media is portraying this as your constituents, your Republicans are staging these mass revolts. Are these people Republicans showing up screaming at you?
No. They're retired teachers, I think, or something. I don't know. Or teaching assistants or something. They call the local Democrat Party or the local union or whatever, and they show up, and they were at my town hall meeting, and I can give them credit. They did a good job of showing up. They all had the same talking points. You know, we are worried about Medicaid, which I don't think we're going to cut, but they say we're going to cut, and they call us racist, of course, because that's what they do, although it's getting a little tiresome. And I was just talking to somebody else on the radio, on the phone, and they pointed out, like, the day Trump won, it was a new era. Prior to that time, so many Americans had to lead a double life, right? You had to have your woke public life and then your private life. You could say how you really felt. And all of a sudden, the fog has lifted, and we can be like we were 20 years ago. I think that's true.
You know, that's an interesting thought. You wonder, it's just messed up. And there was a time when there were differences between Republicans and Democrats, Congressman, but most of that was on, social issues, and you could still find agreement on some things. But now it's insanity, and especially when you look at what the Democrat Party has become.
Oh, absolutely. They just follow the experts. And it's the problem when you follow the experts, because a lot of experts are pretty dumb, right? And when they got all involved on these transgender and boys and girls sports and all this stuff, all of a sudden, all the people with independent thought were like, what in the world is going on here? And I think that, we still get along with the Democrats, actually. It's more they who have just lost their bearings, as you saw in Trump's speech earlier this week.
Yeah.
I mean, right out of the chute, he introduces the First Lady for doing some humanitarian stuff, and all the Democrats refuse to acknowledge her. And everybody always applauds the First Lady, don't they? During my whole lifetime, Barbara Bush or Michelle Obama, they always applaud the First Lady. And right away, they all sat on their hands, couldn't say anything, couldn't applaud the First Lady. You knew it would be a rocky start. By the time it was over, they weren't applauding the poor child with cancer. I mean, it was just, it's not like both parties have a problem here. No. One party's got a problem.
That's it. I mean, you're absolutely right. Well, Congressman, I hate to do this, but we are up against a hard break, and you hang in there. There are a lot of folks supporting you guys, and I think you're right. If you can't stand up and honor a 13-year-old cancer survivor, you haven't just lost the country. I think you've lost your soul.
Right. That's true. It's a shame, but it's a psychological problem, I believe. It's the Greta Thunberg syndrome, which we can talk about sometime in the future. These people are obsessed with their self-righteousness has caused them to go completely off the cliff. And we saw Exhibit A in front of Trump's speech the other night.
That's it. All right, Congressman Glenn Grothman, everybody from the great state of Wisconsin. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, there you go. Oh, by the way, Speaker Mike Johnson, just a few moments ago, announcing on Fox that he believes the protesters showing up at these town hall meetings for Republicans are being funded by George Soros organizations. And Speaker Johnson says, you know what, it's time to pull the plug on these town halls, because the media is not going to be honest about what's really going on here.
I say they keep on holding them, and they just go fire with fire. Like, these people that are showing up to these town halls, they have the green hair. They've got the gauges. They look like angry bulls because they've got piercings in places where God only knows there should be no piercings. And we've got Republican men. We've got Republican conservative women. We've got Marjorie Taylor Greene's, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger. I'd put our people up against their people all day, every day. I don't like the whole phone in a town hall. We should get out there, and we're real people, and we should share our ideas with those people that are foaming at the mouth.
You know what would be fun?
What?
Is to have a bunch of anglers out there, like the trout fishermen with their fishing lines, and they're trying to hook the people with the gauges in their noses, the nose ring.
Oh, this wasn't metaphorical?
No, I'm talking about physically going
literally
out there and going fishing for these and, you know, because they're breaking the law, right? So what you do is you try to aim, and you got to have good aim. It's kind of like lassoing, right? But you're using a fishing line, and you're hooking the nose ring, and then you're just dragging them away.
I'm just going to say
that a great idea?
No, it's not. And I'm going to say, I'm just going to chalk this up to Todd's to his Friday, and he needs to go sleep and go to church on Sunday.
I need some more Wired to Fish coffee.
You need something.
That's good stuff. I'm just throwing it out there. Our show is about ideas. We have to have these conversations.
I've seen some of these protests, Todd, and it would be like reeling in a carp. They're biggins.
Jeez. Many of them, their hands are like carp, especially the men. They're like, ugh, squishy. All right, let's go to Marianne, who I understand is a former teacher. Hi, Marianne. What's on your mind today?
I listen to you every day, Todd, and I think you do a great job.
Thank you.
One of the things that I think Trump ought to do is gather up all the history books that he can find that have been written in the last, I guess, 15, 20 years, whenever it was that Khrushchev said that they could change the way Americans thought in a generation. And I think that the history, I know I have neighbors that live across the street, and her mom and dad moved to the mountains of North Carolina, and they met a history teacher while they've been living up there. And he took an early retirement, Todd, because of it made him sick the way they have changed our history book.
Marianne, is there a history book that we ought to be using that we're not using from the good old days?
I don't know. I'm an old lady now. I'm retired. I'm a retired first grade teacher. I'm sure that the historians, the true historians, could find a well-written history book.
Well, I think you're right, and I would right off the top of my mind, I'm thinking about Hillsdale College. They have some incredible resources, and not only Hillsdale, but also our friend David Barton over at Wall Builders. They've got great resources as well. You know, Marianne, I think it's a solid idea to get those books out of the public schools, and we've got to destroy them. And I would recommend all of you volunteering to be on those textbook committees so that maybe we can stop a lot of this propaganda before it ends up in the classroom. Marianne, got to run for a break, but God bless you, and thank you for calling in. By the way, Dieter, Patty called back. She said she was just kidding.
Patty. I'm coming to North Carolina, and we're going to have a sit-down. She called me weak. You don't call me weak.
I wouldn't have apologized, Patty.
Yeah.
I think she was spot on. Gotta take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina, the talk station. John has an idea about these town halls. Hey, John, what you got for us?
Todd, glad to hear from you, but I think we should use photo IDs for the people at the town hall to show that they are part of the community where the town hall's at. Because I ain't going to drive to New Bern, living down here in Morehead City, Carter County, to go to a town hall. And I guarantee you those pink-haired, purple-haired people ain't from that town.
Yeah, I'm with you. What was it? We had Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger on the show earlier, and she had the same situation up in East Tennessee. And she said those purple-haired folks, they're not from her neck of the woods. It's true. I believe that. John, it's a great idea. Let's go to Kentucky. Pastor John. All right, Pastor John, you got 45 seconds.
Got a bone to pick with all the conservative politicians out there. All these programs that these Democrats are saying that they're going to hurt our veterans, Social Security, and everything else, it's already been indicated numerous amounts of times. President Trump said he would not touch any of those programs. Social Security is safe, veterans entitlements are safe, and everything else is safe. Those conservative politicians, get the word out, get the truth out, and don't hide and just tell the truth.
Yeah,
God, I want to hear your feedback on that. Love you, brother.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor John. Yeah, look, I'm 1,000% in agreement there, but we've got to push back, and we've got to get the facts out there, and we're doing our best here on this show. All right, let's try to work in Mark from the Villages. 25 seconds, Mark.
Hey, Todd, did you hear about that young kid that was interviewed? Well, he was asking Trump yesterday, Nick Gilbertson of Breitbart News. He said to Trump yesterday, during your joint address to Congress, do you think it shows just how out of touch the Democrats are, especially when 79% of the American people approved his speech? Then Trump goes on to say, I love this guy. Who are you with? It shows that there are some good young upcoming journalists, but it was great to see him yesterday call out that young kid. It was awesome.
I did see that, and that was a great moment, and good for him. And look, it's always fun when you can get in the Oval Office and ask some Q&A of the president. So absolutely. Mark, well done, my friend. Whew,
you have one
mercy.
More question.
One more question. What time is the Newsmax show? It is 5 o'clock Eastern. The Newsmax show, 5 o'clock Eastern. Governor Mike Huckabee is my very special guest. Also, Glenn Jacobs, the mayor of Knox County. All right, Ben Dieter, have a great weekend.
Go to church, Todd.
All right, well, you just stole my line.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, hello.
Taking the thunder.
All right, hey, ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. Click on the blue banner, donate food for the poor. We've got a lot of money we need to raise, and we need your help. Have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.